Do you want to be made well? What a loaded question that is. Do you want to be made well? What do you mean? Of course I want to be made well. Who doesn't want to be made well? Truth be told, at times that would be me. And I have to believe that in that I'm not alone. Because there have been times in my life when I've been asked that very question by friends or co-workers or spiritual directors. And you'd think that the answer would be the easiest in the world to give. Yes, I do. But not quite yet. When reflecting on this story recently, I was reminded that when we are truly honest with ourselves, this answer isn't always so clear-cut. Because to answer yes to this question, do I want to be made well, means that I must acknowledge that part of me is in some way unwell, disconnected, broken, ill at ease. It also means that something's going to have to change. So it is with some ease and dis-ease that I can enter into our gospel this morning. Because even though this is a story from thousands of years ago, like much of Scripture, it cuts to the quick this morning because it is at the core of who we are and how it speaks to the truth of our condition. Now, it's important to learn a little bit more about the story in its place. We now know a fair bit about this particular pool, having rediscovered it archaeologically recently, and we have begun to peel back the centuries of use as it really peels back as it goes down. Previous Muslim, and before that Christian, and before that Muslim, and before that Christian, and before that, for at least five centuries, Jewish, Roman, and pagan. And throughout this time, this pool has been consistently known as a sacred place of healing. And some elaborate structures, churches and other things, were built up around it. Now, the tradition in the first century was that an angel of the Lord would stir up the water every once in a while, and that the first person who reached these waters after they had been stirred would be healed. So understandably, whenever a breeze kicked up, or whenever the spring that fed the pool from below increased, it was a race to reach the water first. And if you didn't make it, you waited for the next time, or for the next time after that, or for the next time after that. Which brings us back to our question, did this man want to be well? Well, I've spent a lot of time this past few weeks looking at this scripture, and it doesn't appear to me that John's gospel is clear as to this question. One of the obvious reasons for this is that the man doesn't actually answer Jesus' question. Finally, Jesus gets this in return. The man does not say yes or no, but his response gives us a clue. Here is the answer of this man later made well. Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and when I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. Again, there is no yes or no in his answer, but it's as if he anticipates the judgment that is inherent in Jesus' question. It's like he already hears what will be coming next. If you do want to be made well, then why haven't you been healed? It's at this point that we need to explore the notion of what being made well might mean in this context. The text here for being made well uses the Greek word hyges. And while it is distinct from the word that we often hear used for healing, sozo, there is still a sense of soundness of wholeness. For instance, it is from this word that we derive our word hygiene. And as one scholar has said, it implies more a sense of being whole, a sense of being right with the world. And this is absolutely critical to a more complete understanding of our passage, because our contemporary notion of sickness and health is remarkably different from that of the first century in this Mediterranean world. To that end, I'd like to share a distinction that I found helpful, and two scholars have written it like this. In non-Western medicine, the main problem with sickness is the experience of the sick person being dislodged from his or her social moorings and social standing. Social interaction with family members, friends, neighbors, and village mates comes to a halt. To be healed is to be restored to one's social network. In contemporary Western medicine, we view disease as a malfunction of some organism that can be remedied, assuming cause and cure are known, by proper biomedical treatment. We focus on restoring a sick person's ability to function, to do. Yet often overlooked is the fact that health and sickness are always culturally defined, and that in many societies, the ability to function is not the heart of the matter. In the ancient Mediterranean world, one's state of being was more important than one's ability to act or to function. Thus, the healers of that world focused on restoring a person to a valued state of being rather than to an ability to function. Often we view healing in our society as a fairly black and white issue. You have a sickness or you are in good health. You have a disease or you are cured. This binary understanding can oftentimes be comforting, except when it's not. I was reminded of this earlier this week and reflecting with others on this passage, that our sense of well-being is not a zero-sum game. There are many of us here this morning who seek the care of a doctor for conditions of mind and body that will remain with us for the rest of our lives. Conditions that may never be cured in the contemporary sense of being removed, eradicated, defeated. So what then? Is this an either-or situation? Either I have depression or I am whole. Either I have leukemia or I am whole. Does this mean that healing, restoration, wholeness may forever elude us? No, that is not the final answer. That is not what the good news tells us this morning, my friends. Back to the man waiting near the pool by the sheep gate in Jerusalem. He had been waiting, hoping, and I have to believe that after 38 long and possibly despondent years, he had been possibly existing there. I mean, how many times can one come that close to healing, be disappointed, and still wish to continue? And then comes this Jesus with a really somewhat insulting question. Do you want to be made well? It's almost as if this man then goes on the defensive. I've tried. I don't have people here to help me, and just as I'm getting there, someone beats me to the water. I've done everything I can, and yet here I remain. Now, what follows is obviously amazing, but in the remarkable interaction that takes place, it can be easy to miss what lays beneath it. Because even before this man can ask to be healed, Jesus says to him, "Stand up, take your mat up and walk." And the text continues, "At once the man was made well. He took up his mat and began to walk." Remarkably, after 38 years, the man at once was made well. Now again, I don't want to bore, but the Greek word used here in this part of the text is critical, because when Jesus tells this man to stand up, to arise, it is the same word often used in the New Testament to describe resurrection. Yes, this story is about healing, but it is about much more than the ability to walk. For what if this standing up and walking, the taking up of the mat in this story, serves really as a concrete embodiment of something deeper, a more complete healing? What if this was a sign of connectedness, of a restoration, of a wholeness that exists underneath this man's beginning to walk? Friends, this is the radical possibility that beats at the heart of this story. Radical because it points to a hope that exists outside of a cure. Now, this may sound like an impossibility, that there could be hope outside of a cure. But friends, I've been with enough people close to their death, yet at the same time living, truly living, connected with those around them, complete in their sense of self and of community, and yes, living with a deep sense of healing. I've seen this enough to have known of its truth, a truth which acknowledges that suffering may still exist in our life, that pain may still endure, but that because nothing can separate us from the love of God, we can still experience this profound sense of being whole and even of being made well. Our illnesses may be a part of us, but they are not all of us. The question that Jesus asks still demands our response. Even if that means that our lives will change, even if that means that our healing may come in ways that we do not expect. Do we want to be made well? I'd imagine that there are some here today who have been waiting 38 years or more for a return to the wholeness that we all seek. And there are some here today who know that a biomedical cure is unlikely. But friends, this is the good news, that we need to wait no longer, that there is a truth that transcends the healing that we are often aware of, a truth that Julian of Norwich proclaimed centuries ago, a truth that is just as shockingly true for us this day. And she said, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well."